The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. We can finally, once and for all, find out what happened with Judas Priest. Whether they broke up by themselves, or they were pushed out by outside forces, like the government.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
I'm sweating, man.
Yeah, what's going on?
I churched up some ramen. I churched it straight to hell.
Now, is
I churched
this,
it up straight down to hell.
Is this restaurant ramen or cupboard ramen?
No, man. Nah, just some shit. It's part of my survival package I bought in early COVID, so now I'm just going through all that stuff. But then I had some leftover, two little... of the little plastic ramekins of hot sauce from the Thai food, like for a while ago. I'm like, well, I'll just put those in there, not thinking about measurements or such.
No.
And it was the chili oil and the chili paste.
Ooh.
And, I mean, I don't get me wrong, it was still good, but the first few bites, I look like when Uma Thurman does the drugs that were in John Travolta's pocket in Pulp Fiction. You know Pulp Fiction, that movie we've all seen?
Yeah, I think so.
As addressed on an earlier episode?
Uh-huh.
But yeah, I had to push my chair away from the table and be like, oh, man, what have we done?
Oh, jeez. And you like you like the spicy stuff, so when it gets to you, it must be very hot.
sweating like I went to the gym.
Mm-hmm. I love it, man. My only problem is I love spicy stuff, but I start to hiccup at a certain level, and it just throws everything off.
It'll ruin
the party.
It'll buck you.
Mm-hmm. Do you hiccup or anything, or you just sweat?
I usually just sweat, not hiccups too much, but yeah, man, it's like trying to ride a bull, man. It'll get you.
Mm-hmm. Well, hell yeah, buddy.
But What's up with you, buddy? What's going on?
Oh, not much. On that topic, I had some delicious peach cobbler yesterday. So that's
always peach cobbler seems nice.
That's one of those things I always forget about. Like, it's not my go-to dessert. I don't know why. I mean, it's great, but it gets overshadowed by some of the other desserts. But boy, I had some nice Bloodsoe's barbecue, which you've had. They're in our takeout region, or takeout zone here, and oh boy, opted for the desserts, got a little key lime pie, got a little peach cobbler, oh boy.
Cobbler, it seems like a dessert of a bygone era.
Yes, it's kind of a Dust Bowl dessert.
Yeah, cobbler is like, somebody eating cobbler might say something racist. Like openly.
Yeah, that's true. It's got a real racist grandparents vibe to it.
You know, that's what I'm saying. I'm not saying not all grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's some cobbler eating Nazis out there, man, I tell you.
That's true. But yeah, man, I always forget about the fruit-based desserts. Like I like apple pie and apple cobbler just fine, but it's a little overrated, but man, you get me some peach or some blueberry. Those are my two. Cobbler or pie, doesn't matter. Okay. Essentially the same thing. But I feel like peach and blueberry just get overlooked.
What makes it a cobbler? What's cobbled?
It's a great question. What's the difference between a cobbler and a pie? Maybe just the shape, the structure? I don't know.
Can you cobble other things?
It's a great question. Well, we got apple cobbler, got peach cobbler, got blueberry cobbler. I'm sure there's strawberry cobbler, cherry cobbler.
Can you have a savory cobbler?
Ooh.
Can you have like a nice onion cobbler? Nice shallot cobbler?
That does sound like something you would get in a different country. You know, like, oh, they said cobbler, and it was made of onions. That was weird.
Good. Well, I mean, I'll say Rachel makes this, I mean, it's just called zucchini pie, but it's You know, you're using a flaky, like a pie crust. You're just filling it with zucchini and...
like a pot pie.
I forget, like ricotta cheese. Yeah. Okay. It's great. It's fantastic. It's really good.
Kind of like a quiche, maybe?
No egg.
Yeah, no egg. Yeah, I guess quiche would have the egg. Huh. Savory, savory cobbler. Now we're in the pot pie realm. Because chicken pot pie is
Dave's savory cobblers and pot pies.
I do love a good pot pie.
Same, buddy.
Ooh.
Hey, why can't I eat what's holding this soup?
What about a smoked pork pot pie? That sounds good. Of course, now you're getting I've never had a minced meat pie, and I think that's essentially what that is. It's a meat pie. It's minced.
Yeah, Australia, they're just called hand pies. Mm-hmm. Or you get the little pot pies at the end of the night. I talked about that. What if, all right, now, well, they already have. I mean, they have breakfast croissants. You know, I'm thinking like pastries, but they're just filled with egg and cheese. They already have those. That already exists. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we got to break out of this idea of what needs to be sweet, what needs to be savory.
Mm-hmm.
And by, I think...
It's a spectrum, buddy.
By natural extension of that curiosity, you know, we'd get over transphobia.
That's true.
In my mind, that it extrapolates up to there. Mm-hmm. Why can't a cobbler be savory? Well, then let everything be whatever it wants. Be cool with it.
I was thinking about this the other day. Fruity cornbread. What if we did some sort of strawberry and cream cornbread, or maybe a
cranberry is the natural go-to in my head.
Okay, maybe a baked pear and honey cornbread. Of course, now we're kind of getting into cobbler realm.
If there's somebody that can do it, it's you, Dave.
Mm-hmm.
I trust you to. I mean, cornbread consistency is also some people. Work with like too dry and what have you. Damn, I love a cornbread.
Oh yeah, I'm making cornbread.
I butter it straight to hell.
Ooh, I'm making cornbread Thursday. It's opening day for baseball, and Ryan Singer, Jeff Tate are coming over. We're gonna have a little
Tate's around.
Yeah, gonna have a little baseball party, and I'm doing my chili.
Hell yeah!
And I think I'm gonna do some fried cornbread fritters to go along with that.
Oh my man, you're gonna have a good day over there.
Oh yeah, very excited. Very excited. So what's going on with you, buddy? How was your weekend?
Oh, back from some satellite suburb of Richmond, Virginia, where I played at a shopping mall. To some people.
To some people. Oh, you sound so discouraged.
Yeah, man. It's like, oh, Richmond Funny Bone. Cool. Richmond's a great city. And then you get in an Uber, and then you're just driving 40 minutes away from anything that looks like a city. Mm. And you're just there next to a Dick's Sporting Goods. You're just part of somebody. You're just part of somebody's night.
Yeah,
we're gonna go to the Apple Store. We're gonna go to Cheesecake Factory, and then maybe we'll see what's at the comedy, the comedy business that's here.
Let's go see some comedy.
Was fine. It was fine, except for the late. I apologize to anybody. The late show Saturday, it was just a bummer. Like, the guy before me, Travis, he's a funny dude, and he was doing his best, and there was just the front row was drunk, and then everybody else was kind of indifferent, and I was like, I guess this is one of those nights where I'm just going to talk to these people. Like, it's not going to be story time. Nobody has the attention span that I can see. Like, when I'm on stage, I'm sure these... clubs are great and I'm playing it, but it's like it just feels sarcastic when you know it's a quarter full and then they start with like the Hollywood Bowl lights going all over the place and still doing like the corny intros. Like, it's like, ugh. We just remodeled. Like, what to I'm not on a shit talk, man, but it's like it just. They didn't get the memo that it's 2022 and you can change. Or maybe that's me. Maybe I'm the out-of-towner, mm-hmm. and that's what that crowd prefers in a comedy club, mm-hmm. and it's not for me to say because I'm the one coming from somewhere else being like, it should be like this. What the fuck do I know? Maybe they love it down there.
Well, what the fuck you know is you've been doing comedy for over 2 decades, and you might have
you might have some say-so
in what would work.
When the previews for the upcoming acts are like, oh, this is the type of town.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What kind of corny intro did they have? They didn't play Jock Jams, did they?
It wasn't Jock Jams, but it's like the lights going all over, you know, like the spotlight things, and it's just, I don't know, man. I think the shows were still fun, but that late one, I'm like, I'm just going to do crowd work and see how that goes. And it was all right. But then anytime I'd try to go to any material, I just saw people going on their phones or, you know, it's like, fuck, man. All right. So, and then somebody later is like, yeah, we drove 3 hours to be here. I'm sorry. Don't. I'll come to your city. Please. Even if I don't respond to your messages, I read them when it's like, please come here. Please come there. You see somebody like St. Louis, it's a major city. I will get there. So your scheduling is scheduling. It is what it is. I can't be everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
I will get there. I love doing this for a living, and I will get there when I can get there feasibly.
Mm-hmm.
So I appreciate you. You're asking. Don't think you're being ignored. But yeah, I was like, oh man, I could have gone into the city of Richmond and done an actual show, and it could have been cool.
That's always discouraging when your crowd work does better than your material. That's happened to me before.
Well, it's just when it's drunks that are like, oh, look at this is in the moment. But then trying to get a drunks on a Saturday night to listen to story time. And it's just, nope. Not it was not what was happening that night. And then some tables like, we want to hear that. I'm like, well, the only people I can see in my field of vision are just these bummers in the front row. So it was just not, you know, it's you sometimes you do super cool places and sometimes you don't. Well, and maybe your boy needs to get a little bit thicker skin for these some of these gigs.
That's the weird thing about clubs. One of their many flaws is you would think that at your level, at your notoriety, that most of the people in attendance would be there to see Kyle Kinane. But at clubs, like most clubs, there's still a decent percentage of folks that are just, oh, we come here once a quarter to whoever's here.
Come to the comedy club. But fine. But that's good, though, Dave.
Yeah.
That's you want people to continuously see comedy because that's how you win over new fans.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, we didn't know this guy. We just took a chance and the show was fun. If you're a comedian worth your salt, you should also be able to do that.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't get the people who are like, well, that wasn't funny. No, you didn't research what you went to see. If you walked into a comedy show without knowing anything about it and left and just went, well, it wasn't for me. That's fine. I'm glad you took a chance.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't be like, this was terrible. No, you didn't know how to spend your entertainment dollars wisely.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just like, okay, I think if I had a fighting chance of a really good show in Richmond, it would have been the city itself, not down the hall from a Claire's Boutique and a Dillard's. That being said, I'll be at several more Funny Bones the rest of the year, and they are all in the same fucking mall. I'm not even kidding. I looked them up. It's the same mall everywhere. Outside of the city, it's the wealthier person mall. You know, you don't see a Dollar Tree at these malls.
Yeah, no 99-cent store.
No. These are the wealthy people malls in a satellite suburb of the city it's named after.
Hmm.
So, fuck. Hey, if people show up, I'm still there to do a good job. And, you know, 3 out of the 4 shows this weekend were still fun shows. I still had a good time doing those shows. But, yeah, this playing the Columbus Funny Bone. Guess where the Columbus Funny Bone is? It's in Easton, Ohio. That's not Columbus. Unless it's a neighborhood of Columbus. I don't know. It looks pretty far out of the city to me.
Yeah, it's it's a tough decision doing it the way you're doing it. Like we talked about this off air. Like I would enjoy what you're doing in terms of just flying in on a Friday and flying home on a Sunday. You know, you go make your money, do your shows, in and out, boom, boom. But you, with that schedule, you're kind of relegated to clubs, whereas you could go on a big, extensive tour of cool one-nighters, but then you're on the road for 2 or 3 weeks. So what do you do?
Yeah, and I feel bad that I'm shit-talking these plays. I'm still playing them. Mm-hmm. And they're still fun, but I also got bummed out because then there was an airline strike. I guess Alaska Airlines had a strike, and I got a notice on Saturday that my flights for Sunday were canceled. Like, we rebooked you on these 4 flights to get home. I was like, oh, hell no, man. I can't take this hit 4 on a flights? Weekend like this. I'm already bumming out.
Really? You had three layers.
Yeah, I mean, I manage. Well, that's because they were trying to keep it within their airline. But I was like, yeah, I'm just going to cancel this. Like, that's fine. There's a refund. I got another flight for the same price.
Damn.
On a different airline. But it was just, I feel bad for the people that make the effort to get to the club from a distance. Mm-hmm. And then the show is like, I want the show to be the best show that I can put on. I never want to phone it in.
Yeah.
Like, I tried something different Saturday night. I still didn't want it to be bad, but I was like, let me try and exercise this muscle and do crowd work. I'm not normally that guy.
How did that go?
I mean, it was all right. I was having fun, but then after a while it was just, oh, everybody's just drunk. And then I'm like, well, let me start a story. And then somebody yells some shit or something or just be half asleep at the table in the front row. I'm like, all right, man, well, it's only so many blue drinks you can get down your gullet before you meet the Sandman on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
And I saw it was a lot of blue drinks. It's a lot of blue. It was a real blue drink crowd.
Man, going back to the corny intros, back when I used to host, when I was first starting, I would host. So I'd be the first comic that came out. And most of the time I'd follow some big corny intro, Jock Jams or fucking light show. Yeah. And it just seems weird because then the host gets out there and it's like, well, this is all I'm going to do. This is, you know, I'm just talking, right? There's no guitars. There's no pyro.
Benny the Bull is in Russian on stage throwing out free t-shirts.
Yeah. It's like, you know, you got that huge corny intro and then it's like, all right, I'm just going to talk for 10 minutes. And it's a weird juxtaposition. I understand you got to get the crowd enthused, but you also can't be misleading in terms of what they're about to see.
Some places will be like, hey, what song would you like to go on stage to? And I appreciate that. I took a note out of your book of like, all right, I have a playlist that goes out to clubs to be played before the show.
Yeah.
Some places play it and other places don't.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that, I mean, I could have sat there. I mean, I watched the intro and I'm just like, I'm not even going to get on about it. Like, all right, this is how you do it. It's one of these things. Like, these are the clubs. This is how we do things at this club.
Mm-hmm.
How's all right, man. Out?
Yeah.
All right. Probably great on other weekends. Probably great when, like, T-Bone and the Panther are there.
Oh, boy. Well, did you do anything cool in the suburbs of Richmond? Did you go to the food court?
I walked around the mall. I bought an Apple Watch. They got me. It happened. I walked around enough. Like, I guess I'm sad. I'll buy a thing.
You got the Apple Watch, huh? Katie's got one of those.
I just want to track my exercise.
Mm-hmm.
I guess what? I could track it without an Apple Watch, too. I don't do any. I do. That's a joke. But it's nice to, like, I want to go to the gym and, like, have... I liked when I had a little Fitbit, and it would tell me, like, hey, you did all your steps. Hey, you did this exercise today. Hey, look at all much stuff you did this week. I kind of need that little psychological trickery.
Yeah.
I don't need it, but it helps.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, all right, let me just get, not the one that, like, I can do phone call. I don't need this pure Steve Jobs microchip implant in my life, but
yeah,
I did it. That's yeah. So that's what I did. I probably lost money buying the Apple Watch this weekend. There was a good gringo taco place there. It wasn't all bad. I feel bad. Like I'm slagging it off. I just feel bad when people drive a distance. Like people, yeah, we got a hotel room. Well, fuck, man.
Damn.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I feel bad for that. You should get the best version of what I got to offer.
Mm-hmm.
And, that Saturday Late Show. I tried a different thing, man. You ever do crowd work, Dave? I know you're not normally a crowd work guy. You ever fuck around with it?
Not unless I absolutely have to. I've always despised just the concept of it. And in your case, like you're talking about, I understand sometimes it's necessary. Mm. Like, you know, because it's worse to, when your material's not working, you're just mowing through it. Like you're contractually obligated to do these jokes. But, I've just tried to stay away from it, unless I absolutely have to. I mean, sometimes you have to, and I get that. Now, sometimes I'll host, like, a local show, and if I'm hosting, I'll do some crowd work. You know, I like a little bit of that up top, just to kind of loosen people up. But, man, I've worked with so many headliners where it's like, oh, that is your act. That wasn't plan B. Plan A is I'm going to talk to the crowd and talk about the news and ask who's dating. Like, to me, that's just so fucking boring. Who gives a shit who's dating? Who gives a shit where you work?
Some people are good at it.
Ugh.
But some people are good at it. Mm-hmm. A lot of people think they're good at it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But of the people that think they're good at it, only a few of them are good at it.
Mm-hmm. Now, I do sometimes try this exercise. I like the exercise of how long can I go into my set before I tap into material. Now, and what I mean by that is, like, how long can I go and get laughs? How long can I be entertaining and funny until I have to get into the act? So I'll try that sometimes in terms of just not crowd work per se, but just, you know, riffing on things or kind of writing on stage or exploring the space and talking about the club or the city or whatever.
How much different is that from doing crowd work, if the style of crowd work is like, oh, where do you work? And you just get somebody, basically that's improv. Instead of saying, like, give me a suggestion for a job, you ask where somebody works, and then you joke about what the job would entail. You know, I think that's the trick of making it good, is running with whatever the person says. It's not back and forth. It's like, we're dating. And you just use that as the premise. Some lady said one thing about, like, oh, at the stage, like, there's like wrought iron beams behind me. She's like, it looks like a dungeon. I'm like, what kind of dungeon? And it was sex dungeon regulated. It's like, oh, I'm just going to riff on the idea of what a dungeon could be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so people get off, like, that's why people get off on improv, I think, is when it's good, you know that they just came up with it, and it's kind of magical, you know?
Yeah. Now, the best is when you're doing crowd work, and somebody suggests something, or it leads you down a path where you have material on that, and then you do that bit, but you do it real off the cuff and nonchalant, as if I just made this up. Now that's impressive. I've gotten huge laughs from that. We're like, oh, y'all don't know. I'm glad you mentioned that because I've got a bit about that, and I'm going to do that bit right now, but I'm going to disguise it as if it's just off the top of my head.
Well, and that's how people have conversation, is like, oh, the thing you just said reminds me of a story that I have about it.
Yeah.
And that's just, you just got to have, you have a large enough catalog of stories or references.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hey, it's me, Dave. What do U.S. News, PC Magazine, and Popular Science all have in common? Well, they all rank SimpliSafe Home Security as the best home security of 2021. In fact, U.S. News just named SimpliSafe the best home security of 2022, as well. I've had Simply Safe for a few years now. We love it. I had it at the old place. I've got it at the new place. Took about 30 minutes to set up. You download the app. They walk you through it. I got all the bells and whistles. I got the motion sensors. I got the window sensors. Got that video camera. That's the best part. That way, if something does go down, you've got some video evidence to show the police. But yeah, it's just peace of mind. Simply Safe, they protect your whole home around the clock, every door, every window, every room. It's backed by the best 24/7 professional monitoring in the business, ready to dispatch police, firefighters, EMTs, whoever you need, directly to your home. With a comprehensive set of sensors and cameras, including the all-new wireless outdoor security camera, you always know what's going on inside and outside of your home. Simply Safe is less than a buck a day. You can set it up in about 30 minutes, always simple to use. Never any long-term contracts. You can even try it for 60 days risk-free to see if you like it. If you don't, send it back free of charge. Simply Safe protects over a million homes in the United States alone. What you can do right now, you can customize your own perfect system for your home in just a few minutes at simplysafe.com/boogie. Go today and claim a free indoor security camera plus 20% off interactive monitoring. Go to simplysafe.com/boogie. All right, let's talk about adamandeve.com. Who wants better sex? Line up single file. No, the best way to get started is to go to adamandeve.com right now. Adam and Eve is offering 50% off just about any item. Just about, in that, you know, some of the big ticket items maybe not eligible for this deal. The fuck helicopters and the dildo suits or what have you. But that's not all. When you get one item, they will also send three bonus sexy items and six free movies. More than that, Adam and Eve wants to make your life easy. They offer discreet shipping, as privacy is a priority, plus free shipping on your entire order. Doesn't matter how much you spend or what you buy, all will be packaged and sent discreetly for free. That's 50% off one item and 10 free gifts to boot. Bring more pleasure and satisfaction into your bedroom. Go to adamandeve.com, select any one item. It could be an adventurous new toy for you, something for her, maybe something you'll both desire. That's really the key, all right? Especially, well, when there's a partner involved, you need to consider both. But hey, you know, you could do it solo, and then you're only having to worry about your own needs and desires. So really, it just depends on where you're at right now. Just enter code BOOGIE at checkout. You'll get 50% off almost any item, plus 10 free gifts, 3 bonus items, 6 free movies, and free shipping. Use offer code BOOGIE, that's B-O-O-G-I-E, in that order, at adamandeve.com. This is an exclusive offer specific to Boogie Monster listeners, so be sure to use the code BOOGIE. That way you get the discount and we get the credit. It helps everybody, right? 100% free shipping. AdamandEve.com, code BOOGIE.
Anyway, what'd you do? What was your weekend? What'd you do?
What did I do? Went to Red Lion yesterday.
You just had peach cobbler? That was it? You just had cobbler? Yeah, you went to Red Lion. You sent me a picture of that.
I had some peach cobbler. I went to the Red Lion. Yeah, it was a good time, buddy. It's a good time. I miss that Red Lion. That is a magical place.
Me too, buddy.
God.
Legendary Los Angeles bar, for those of you curious about it.
What would you call it? German or Bavarian? What are they going for? Is that German?
Was opened, I believe, as an English pub.
Huh.
And then it went German.
Yeah.
Maybe they're just theme. Maybe it was the theme that if Germany was successful in World War II, that's mm-hmm. how that would play out. But yeah, there's some goofy history about the place, and maybe not all sunshine either about the German history of it.
Yeah.
There was some weird stories about like maybe the lady that owned the place walking around with like a Nazi pin for a while.
Oh wow.
And I don't know if she was like, it's a German, I'm doing like a German thing. Like, hey, can you believe I'm doing this? And everybody's like, it's not. That's a bad joke. get it. You know, we already get the thing that it's German. I'm having schnitzel right now.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I love places like that where they have food that you can't find on every corner. You know, I love I go there for the potato pancakes and the sausage platter.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, it's good stuff. Good stuff, man.
It's like a hauntingly windy up here right now.
Oh, really?
Like tree branches and shit falling down and hail. It's weird, man. Really? Sorry, I'm looking out the window right now. It's pretty gnarly out there.
Hail is weird.
Keep little D in the house. She'll blow away in this shit.
Mm-hmm. Got to take care of them critters. But yeah, pretty uneventful week. I haven't mentioned this to you even off mic, just because.
Okay, a surprise.
Yeah, a little surprise because I wanted to reach a certain milestone, certain level of accomplishment before I started blabbing about it. But haven't had a drink in 5 weeks.
Really?
Yeah. Just now, yesterday I've been on the non-alcoholic beer and finding some of those here and there. I had some of that with my sausage platter. But yeah, 5 weeks, just taking a break. I haven't quit drinking, but I'm taking a break. Just
man.
For the and here's I had an epiphany about 5 weeks ago. And this wasn't something I was really planning on. But right before we moved, I was just sitting around and I just noticed that, like, all right, I was pounding drinks there for a while, just every night, just kind of a routine, you know, like, all right, I'm done with my day. Let's pull up Netflix and pour a bourbon and Coke. And I don't know, man, I had an epiphany about 5 weeks ago. Just something spoke to me. It said, hey, dude, you're going to die if you don't take a break. And it really did speak to me. I don't know what it was, yeah. But it just something internally was like, oh, I better listen to this internal voice. And I know this is something that alcoholics say, but I truly don't think I had an alcohol problem. I had had and continue to have a sugar problem. And here's the test. I don't know if I've talked to you about this, but here's how I know that I didn't have an alcohol problem.
And peach cobbler's making sense now.
It was a sugar problem because
the biggest thing you did all weekend was have peach cobbler. I'm like, oh, okay, now the story checks out.
I've cut way back on the beer even before I stopped 5 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. I just cut way back on the beer. There were times 10 years ago where I'd drink a six pack every night. You know, just whether it be when I was landscaping, you know, just come home and that was like my reward for working hard all day.
Did you get drunk off a six pack? Would you get like a buzz or anything?
Not really. I think that's kind of why I gave it up, because it was just pointless. It felt like empty calories because I would barely even. I would probably truly have to drink about 10 to 12 beers for it to really be fun. But that's also way too many calories. And plus, even if I'm not watching calories, that's just a lot to consume. Like, I can't.
Coors Light's 100 calories a can.
Yeah. I mean, you drink a 12 pack of that, it's 1,200 calories. But,
Michelob Ultras are starting to make some sense, huh?
Yeah. But yeah, I cut way back on the beer. But, I like bourbon. But even with that, I'll drink it, but I don't care for bourbon on the rocks or bourbon neat. I always like a mixer, preferably like Coke. And I've tried the Diet Coke, but boy, I don't like Diet Coke in general, but especially the way it mixes with whiskey or bourbon, just such a weird aftertaste. So my point is, I was knocking back a lot of bourbon and Cokes, but the nights that I had bourbon but no mixer, I wouldn't drink. I wouldn't be tempted to drink. Like the idea of like, just having a bourbon on the rocks. I'll do that sometimes, but that's not like, it's not desirable for me. So the nights that I had a big old bottle of bourbon and no Coke, I wouldn't drink. But then, you know, then I get a hold of some Coke to mix it with and I'm knocking them back. So that, I don't know if I'm justifying my behavior, but truly in my mind, I was like, oh, so it's not the alcohol that I have a problem with. It's the sugar. And,
well, that shit's terrible for you too. The
exactly.
Coke alone.
Yeah. So yeah, exactly. So in the way I was doing it, it's like, oh, so I'm drinking two bad things in one glass. But yeah, 5 weeks, no booze whatsoever. I've had a few non-alcoholic beers, just, you know, kind of the muscle memory. And like we've talked about before, like you don't like beer or liquor you don't like beer with food. I love beer with food. So, like, you know, if I'm having some wings or pizza, you know, I'll grab a non-alcoholic beer. By the way, anybody trying to get on the non-alcoholic beer, Bitburger has a great non-alcoholic. It tastes just like regular beer. Like, the rest of them are like, okay, this is kind of a substitute, but I can clearly tell that, you know, it's missing the alcohol. But the Bitburger tasted just wonderful. But anyway, my point.
Yeah, I can't imagine consuming that with no reward.
Yeah. It does feel kind of silly. But yeah, man, just taking a break from the booze. 5 weeks, nothing. And I'm trying to cut down on sugar, too. Like, I haven't had any regular soda. I've been knocking back some diet sodas. But, yeah, no...
Getting that LaCroix life, buddy.
No sugar... what am I trying to say? No liquid sugar. Haven't had any liquid sugar, but yeah. But I am starting to get that sweet tooth that people who've stopped drinking get, you know, because
I would get that.
Missing all that sugar that I was naturally getting from the booze and the Coke and whatnot. But
a Dairy Queen Blizzard.
Oh, whew. It's good stuff.
It's like a long. It was like a Long Island iced tea to me when I wasn't drinking.
Yeah,
I've turned that shit upside down in front of me.
what flavor Blizzard you going for?
What I'm just where the wind takes me, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
I get in that line and I'm like, maybe it's a Heath bar kind of day.
Ooh,
for some underrated. Reason, a Blizzard makes all the candy bars only dads would eat sound enticing.
Oh, I love a Heath bar.
Hundred grand in a Blizzard, you betcha.
Yeah, yeah. I was an Oreo Blizzard guy. That was my go to.
Oreo, peanut butter cup. Mm-hmm. Give me an M&M or something strange. You know what's a good candy bar? Payday bar.
Oh, see, that's so boring.
No chocolate.
To me. Yeah, what's the point? What other candy bar doesn't have chocolate? Man. Is that the only one that doesn't have any chocolate? We talked about the Zero bar. That was weird, but I think that was some sort of white fudge or white chocolate.
Was that like a diet bar?
No. Oh, yeah.
Jenny Craig candy?
Never thought of that, but no, I don't think so. Maybe the Zero came from it didn't have any chocolate. I don't know.
I like a payday bar because it's got that weird shit on the inside.
Mm-hmm. I'll eat a payday bar.
It's got some sort of weird nougat log.
To me, it feels like a granola bar. I do like a good granola bar.
You're way off.
We talked about
you last like week. A granola bar. You don't like a payday bar. Dang.
I like a chocolate granola bar. I like the Quaker chocolate chip.
That's candy. That's called candy, Dave.
Yeah, that's why I like it.
So I like a good. Granola bar that has marshmallows and chocolate and caramel on it. That's a Snicker bar, Dave. You like a Snicker bar that has almonds.
Oh man,
the hell are we talking about this week? Where do we go? I felt bad. I had a somber beginning to the episode.
Oh,
sorry,
right,
everybody.
Buddy.
You come out to one of these comedy clubs, I'm going to give the best show I can give to you in the confines of a shopping mall, outdoor shopping mall in a rich suburb. Do my best.
You're doing the Lord's work, buddy.
Hey, happy to be working. That's what I like. You know, you go through that mix of like, I'm grateful that I'm doing what I get to do, like what I want to do for a living. But then so you feel bad kind of wanting more.
Yeah.
And you're like, why can't I be happy with this? Like, I can be happy, but I could also try to work to improve things without being ungrateful for what I already have.
That's true. That's a good perspective.
Trying to find that balance, you know.
Good for you, buddy. Today,
sorry, this isn't the kind of podcast that's popular with people. We need to be angry that there's a trans lady on a swim team.
Yeah,
that's what we need to be mad about, Dave.
Oh man, we didn't talk about this last week.
We're open minded thinkers. Ivermectin works, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. One thing I know we've all had an assful of the Will Smith Chris Rock thing, but one thing I've haven't heard people talking about. Was if you look at that incident, essentially that was a sucker punch because he walked up on him, but like he didn't walk up like with aggressive body language per se. He walked up, and if you look at it at the very last second, then he throws that dumb little slap, and I just feel like that was kind of a chicken shit move.
I think why it's not a sucker punch because it's Will Smith.
Mm-hmm.
If world famous. Actor celebrity Will Smith walked up to you, the last thing you'd think is that you're going to get hit in the face.
Yeah. And I think Chris Rock thought it was a bit because he kind of braced for it. Like, and Will Smith kind of had like a smile on his face while he's marching up there. So I think Chris Rock thought, okay, we're going to do a little bit where you pretend to hit me or choke me or something. Because basically his hands were behind his back and he kind of stuck his chin out there like, go ahead, take your best shot. But I don't think he was expecting an actual strike. But yeah, I thought that was a chicken shit move. It was essentially a sucker punch. because he kind of slid it in there at the last second, as opposed to like walking up there aggressive, like, you know, hey, what the fuck did you say? Or, you know, he's like, I think he kind of baited Chris Rock into thinking they were doing a bit, and then he smacked him. But yeah, God, that seems like it was 3 months ago. It was 1 week ago.
Yeah, it was a week. I got tired of hearing about it. As soon as I heard it happen, I'm like, this is going to be. I'd say, you know, when just something massive enough happens and you're already like, oof, I'm already sick of the jokes that I haven't even heard about this yet.
Of course.
Because you go over like, all right, here's the first tier bits that are going to be made that everybody's going to jump on. Then here's the second tier bits of like a more skilled comedian will have. You know, then the third tier bits will be like the better late night hosts will get their writers on it. I'm like, I already don't want to hear any of these.
Yeah.
Oh. Dave, take us to Egypt.
Let's go to Egypt, buddy. Let's go to Arizona. Let's go to the Grand Canyon.
Okay.
Would you believe I've driven
different place
cross country 24 times, but I've never been to the Grand Canyon? It's never been on the
anywhere.
Yeah. I've driven essentially coast to coast 24 different times. Never been to the Grand Canyon.
It's a little out of the way if your destination, if you're not making a point to go to the Grand Canyon, it is out of the way.
Yeah. You've been, right?
Been a couple, two, three times. It is outstanding.
Have you like really explored it? Have you gone down in there or? Really
no, we did a little, we hiked down a little bit down one of the trails, but I never did the go down to the river kind of thing. But it's one of those locations that you'll look at it and you don't, it's hard to compute that you're seeing a real thing.
Really?
It's so expansive. And you've seen it from pictures and TV and it just, it's hard to register. That's a real thing before you.
Yeah, I didn't realize exactly how big it was. It's apparently 18 miles wide, and it spans about 270, 275 miles long. That's crazy. That's a big hole. It's a big hole. Anyway, what I wanted to talk to you about today, and I had never heard this legend or theory or tall tale, what have you, but I ran across some articles that there's a theory that there's a lost ancient city down inside the Grand Canyon. And this bizarre tale began when a newspaper article appeared on the front page of the Arizona Gazette back in April of 1909. Gave a spectacular account from two alleged Smithsonian-funded archaeologists, this guy named Professor Jordan and this other dude named G.E. Kincaid. They claim to have found deep within the bowels of the earth in the Marble Canyon region of the Grand Canyon a vast cavern system with evidence of some ancient lost civilizations. Now, that in and of itself is not too hard to believe that maybe some indigenous folks, you know, set up shop down in the bowels of the Grand Canyon. Because, like I said, it's so expansive. I'm sure there's just millions of nooks and crannies, caves and what have you, where people, ancient people, could have resided. But this story's pretty bizarre. These two guys, like I said, Kincaid and Jordan, they claimed to have been funded by the Smithsonian's Department of Anthropology. And they claim they found an entrance to this weird cavern system about 1,500 feet down the wall of a sheer cliff in a remote, undisclosed area. The area was described as being nearly inaccessible and surrounded by desolate and dangerous wilderness. 1,500 feet down the wall of a sheer cliff. Like, okay. So, and I'll tell you more about what they found, but that right there, I've always been fascinated by like cave dwellers and subterranean type stuff. But like, let's say you did live, let's say there was a civilization down in those caves. Where did they get food and water if it's in such a remote area? 1,500 feet down the wall of a sheer cliff. sheer cliff, rather. I've just... That just seems almost uninhabitable to just live in a cave system. Like, at some point, you're going to need to grow some food or catch some fish or get some sunlight.
Yeah.
So, go ahead.
Go ahead. I've already... First page of the Google search on this story, Dave.
You're already debunking it right out of the gate?
I'm not debunking it. Many other people.
Okay, and apparently they found some weird stuff in these caves. They found a bunch of relics and artifacts, such as weapons, copper instruments, urns, vases. Mm-hmm. I never know which one to say. All were taken as evidence. Here's the thing, too. In my research in this, a lot of reoccurring fact is like, oh, some of these artifacts and stuff could be from ancient Egypt. I've read several different articles that talk about how this is this is proof of some Egyptian civil, but no one says what makes it, why they think it's Egyptian, or how that would even be possible. How the fuck would the ancient Egyptians find their way to North America, specifically the Grand Canyon? So I don't know if I'm buying that. But there were crypts. Many places were found. This is all according to Kincaid and Jordan. First of all, they say that there was this area they found was big enough to house possibly 50,000 people. So that's insane to think about a civilization of. That's a decent sized town. I mean, that's a suburb, 50,000 people just living in the walls of the Grand Canyon. But they found hieroglyphics etched into the stone, different stone tablets. Found all kind of like valuables, like I said, urns and vases and stuff like that. But they all keep coming back to, oh, does this mean that the Egyptians were here? But there's no further, at least I haven't found. And I read a few articles. I'm not going to pretend I've been studying this for a month, but I've read several articles. But nobody explains why they think this means that these folks were Egyptian, or that the I guess maybe the type of hieroglyphics they found, or the type of tools or art or whatever they found, they think maybe that was from Egypt. But that just seems pretty insane to me. 50,000 people. This Kincaid, by the way, he claimed he was, like I said, working for or funded by the Smithsonian. And he was traveling down the Colorado River, and then I don't know what caught his eye, but he said he saw some etchings off on this sheer cliff, and it made him get up there and explore and found these caves. It ran in the paper back in 1909. These crypts, though, many places, mysterious hieroglyphics etched into the stone. Although it was unknown what purpose they served or what they said, perhaps the most fascinating and also macabre discovery made down there in the gloom was that they can only be described as some sort of crypt where allegedly found rows and rows of actual mummies stuffed into shelves carved into the stone wall. So not only did they claim they found crypts, they found rows and rows of mummies. And all this pertains to the bigger story of, like, historical cover-ups, much like UFOs and stuff. Like, what's the government's rationale or reasoning for not making this public or trying to cover it up? Well, I've been dabbling a little bit in terms of, like, false history. And I do...
Well, you're dabbling.
I do appreciate the concept. Much like we talked about years ago, we're talking about the flat Earth theory, and I'm not pro flat Earth, but I'm saying my point is like, well, we only know the things that we've been told or what we've read. So if dating back centuries, there's been some sort of regulation in terms of public education or what gets published, then yeah, you're only gonna very little of what we claim to know is based off of firsthand experience. Most of everything I claim to know or have knowledge of is something I read or something I've been told.
Yeah, that's how advancements work, is people smarter than us have created things, and then other people, after those smart people die, other smart people take those advancements and add them to newly acquired knowledge and move forward. Imagine waking up every day needing firsthand knowledge of everything you're going to do.
Well, of course. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. We don't act that way. That would be exhausting.
Yeah. And I know that's the flatter the world, just because they told us. Who wins if we've all been lied to about the earth being round? Who wins? Who wins by duping the entire population of a flat pizza planet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good question. I don't know. But
something like this, yeah, this is like it's only one story. There's only been one story about this to the Arizona Gazette in 1909.
Yeah.
There's no artifacts that they took back with them. There's no proof of these people existing.
Mm-hmm.
There's just one article in the Arizona Gazette.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
But, okay, that being said, I'm not saying this is the deal with this story, but a story like this, when you're talking about a terrain or an area that is so inaccessible, I mean, what's more inaccessible than the Grand Canyon? So there could, I'm not saying this is true, but it could be believable that something like this could possibly have been covered up or swept under the rug, because who's going to know unless you're one of the handful of people that have made it down there into these caverns.
Sorry to be the poo-pooer of this kind of thing again, but okay, just show me some proof.
Yeah.
Give me some proof.
Mm-hmm.
And but I am with you that there are many unexplored areas.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the whole Lost City of Z is an interesting story about, explorers going down to South America looking for the lost city of Z. But here's a silver lining on the destruction of Earth. We'll probably find these places soon. We're gonna get rid of so much rainforest that I think we're gonna find one of these hidden cities. Mm-hmm. We're gonna frack enough to discover Atlantis. It'll be fine.
Yeah.
We're going to get there. We're going to do, some offshore oil derricks is going to drill through the glass shell of Atlantis. We will find these things based on our own consumption. So there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll blast enough. I don't think the hole in the ozone is a problem anymore, is it?
I haven't heard much about it lately.
Yeah, me neither.
This Kincaid guy, his theory is that the actual documented indigenous people of this region, whoever those people may be, I forgot what tribe was supposed to inhabit that area. He thinks those people may have descended from this civilization in question. And it made me think about this theory. I don't know if we've talked too much about this in the past. We may have touched on it, but the theory that humans are not the original inhabitants of Earth, that maybe aliens were here before humans.
See, I can get down with stuff like that.
I love that concept or that theory, but I'm wondering if that could be connected to this, because he thinks that what we know is the original indigenous people of this area. He thinks that they were descendant from this civilization. Could it be that this civilization we're talking about, could they have been aliens? And I know that almost every topic or question that we pose on this show could come back to, could they be aliens? But I've always loved that concept of humans not being the original inhabitants of Earth.
Yeah, well, that just goes to the, the meteor that got rid of the dinosaurs, and we can't document everything that was here back in that day.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what if there was a This is what I don't know. What kind of mammals were documented from the prehistoric age? I mean, there's woolly mammoths and saber-toothed tigers, things like that. But were there primates documented from that era?
That's a good question.
So not aliens, but something along the lines of a humor. Yes, I wouldn't call them aliens. It's just some sort of early man type of creature. I'm out of my depth entirely on just even speculating. I don't know, man. Yeah, maybe it's people that like, oh, they developed things here and then got the fuck off Earth because they could time travel, and they saw like, well, this is going to go to shit pretty soon.
Now,
I don't know, man.
To your point, there seems to be no record of this Professor Kincaid or Professor Jordan within the Smithsonian's Department of Anthropology, nor is there any paperwork concerning them or their supposed discoveries. The Smithsonian itself has bluntly said in a statement to the World Explorers Club, and I'm quoting, "Well, the first thing I can tell you before we go any further is that no Egyptian artifacts of any kind have ever been found in North or South America. Therefore, I can tell you that the Smithsonian Institute has never been involved in any such excavations." So the Smithsonian's gone on record denying any knowledge of this. But then that leads to the obvious question, are they covering something up? One of the more popular theories is that the Smithsonian itself is engaged in a cover-up of the findings, destroying the evidence and the paper trail that leads to it in order to maintain the status quo and preserve the accepted historical paradigm.
I love this, like, we got to maintain the status quo. Everything's a cover-up to maintain the status quo. It's never just... it's the status quo because this crazy shit never happened. It's always like the crazy shit happened, but it would freak people out too much, man.
Well, I mean, we've talked about that in regards to disclosure. I believe that. I believe that the government's covering up some UFO shit for that exact reason. Like we talked about, like if it was a scientific fact that aliens from other planets exist, then that throws a wrench into a lot of the conventional human beliefs, such as religion.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I get your point of, like, it's an easy argument. Well, they're just covering it up. But I do believe that our government and other governments have and continue to cover up certain things.
And it's the thing, it's, you know, once a liar, always a liar. And then if they lied about this thing, then you have to distrust every single thing. And that's the problem I have with... well, they, you know, government lied about the Tuskegee experiments, therefore, massive alien cover-up. No, I understand the distrust, but no. So, you know, lying because they're shitty to their own people, oh yeah. The government has to operate that way. I mean, it doesn't have to, but governments are shitty. But using that to then engulf all conspiracy theories as being true or possibly true.
Yeah.
I don't think you can do that, honestly. That doesn't work for me.
This guy we've talked about before, David Icke, he's the guy behind the reptilian conspiracy theory.
He's
gone on record. What does it say about Icke believes that Kincaid's cave system not only exists, but is also reptilian central. In his sensationalist 1999 book, The Biggest Secret, Icke writes, "In 1909, a subterranean city which was built with the precision of the Great Pyramids was found by G.E. Kincaid near the Grand Canyon in Arizona. It was big enough to accommodate 50,000 people, and mummified bodies were found there of Oriental or possible Egyptian origin." According to the expedition leader, S.A. Jordan, Icke goes on to say, "My own research suggests that it is from another dimension, the lower fourth dimension, that the reptilian control and manipulation is primarily orchestrated." So, David,
what research? If there's only one story from one newspaper about this happening, what's this dude's research then?
Great question.
I read it too.
Great question. Yeah. I mean, it's an amazing story to contemplate. Like, I'd love to think that whether they be human or alien, that there was ancient civilizations living inside
the Grand Canyon. I like Indiana Jones, too.
But I will say, like, I mean, it's somewhat believable that there could be a cave system inside the Grand Canyon that ancient people lived in.
That part, no, that part, I will go with you that there's, I'm sure, unexplored areas that people inhabited that, we have not found yet. Mm-hmm. I don't think they were time travelers or portal travelers from Egypt that got to the Grand Canyon. Mm-hmm. I don't think it, but I'm sure there's places that, oh, look, a family left a tribe and lived here by themselves until they perished, and we have not found that place. Sure.
Well, and this is such an interesting story, too, in the juxtaposition of, like, hiding in plain sight. Like, a place that is so famous, that receives so many visitors every year, that could also be the location of a hidden, lost civilization.
That's I think once you see the Grand Canyon, Dave, you'll realize it's not in plain sight. Yeah, it's a vast, a lot of sheer cliffs.
That's true.
I mean, now the way they can map things with, you know, using lasers to determine distance and map things that way, maybe we'll start discovering more things. I think that's how they, you know, like monitor the elevations and rainforests and everything. But like we might discover more stuff that way. And maybe that's how, if they did, I don't know if somebody has mapped out the Grand Canyon that way, they might find some caves or this and that, but plain sight is not what I would use to describe this. It's the Grand Canyon. It's very large.
Well, going back to the possible Egyptian connection, and we've never discussed this because it's just such a large topic that I wouldn't even know where to begin, but just the simple story of the pyramids, the Egyptian pyramids, were they or were they not built by aliens? I've read articles that talk about how it's racist to think that aliens helped build them because you're discrediting the indigenous people. Like, I don't know if that's racist. No, it's not like you're saying, well, the African people surely couldn't have done it. Maybe Europeans could have done it. And if you're making that argument, it's racist. But I'm looking at it from the concept of, like, any human, regardless of race, it just seems kind of unfathomable that they could build the pyramids at that age, back then, when apparently technology was very limited.
Well, I think the racism part is just ignoring the true horror of slave labor.
True. Okay. Yeah.
Of, maybe aliens did it. No, maybe one group of people treated another group of people so with such, you know, in such a despicable manner to get them to do that. So I think that's why it's kind of, let's not jump to aliens. Let's look at the horrors of humankind throughout history.
Yeah. The story I read was, it felt like it was coming from the angle of, like, who says Africans or Egyptians? I guess back then, Egypt's in Africa, so you can just call them Africans. But who says they couldn't build it? I was like, well, no one's saying it. Egyptians per se or Africans per se, it's just humans. It just seems like humans in general probably didn't have the technology or the wherewithal to construct such massive and seemingly perfect structures. But who knows? Like I said, that's such a huge topic that I wouldn't even know where to begin. But I would like to see that. That's some place I'd love to visit, though. That's two I need to get to. Two of the biggest I need to check out is Grand Canyon, but also the pyramids. I'd love to go check those out.
4,500 years ago, those were made. I mean, that's a good one. Pyramids are a good one. I mean, it does. Everybody thinks it's alien. Everybody's got a theory on it, something that's been there for that long. You know, well, it's Stonehenge. How'd they get the rocks there? They fucking dragged them there.
Yeah. You've been there, right?
For a long period of time.
You saw Stonehenge, didn't you?
I saw Stonehenge, yeah. I didn't get any vibes.
No. That's in England? Where is that?
Yep.
Always get Stonehenge.
It's weird that some of the graffiti on Stonehenge was like soldiers during World War II like carved their name into it. And so as much as that was graffiti, it's like, oh, that's history on top of history.
Yeah. Yeah, fascinating stuff. Per usual, you know, we're only scratching the surface of this story. But, I mean, I would have to kind of lean towards you in terms of maybe this is bullshit simply by the fact that there's really only one story. only two people reporting this.
Yeah, lost civilization, sure. Mm-hmm. They can be out there. We can get into more of them.
Mm-hmm.
This one, I had heard about it in the past, and this is the one like, oh, yeah. One story in one newspaper from 100 years ago. Mm-hmm. And they were like, yeah, they're probably just trying to sell newspapers.
How would you live in a cave system, though? That seems like, talk about seasonal depression. Just living in a cave.
Who gets timed by the hole in the cave for the sun today?
What do they do for food?
But that's what I'm saying. It's almost like you're coming to the conclusion this is bullshit all on your own, Dave. And I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you.
I'm growing.
You got to ask these questions. Sometimes you can't be told the answers. You have to ask the questions first.
That's true. Well, I'll make my way over there eventually, and I'll get to the bottom of it in person. I'll find this fucking cave.
You go dangle off the side.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get you some rappelling gear. Dave's over there. Dave's all fucking dangling off the side, you know, looking for lost civilizations and such.
All right, today's episode of the Boogie Monster brought to you by Athletic Greens. I've been talking about Athletic Greens for months now. Lost a bunch of weight leading up to the wedding, had since gained a lot of it back. Not a lot, some of it back, but thanks to Athletic Greens, in about 6 weeks, I'm down another 10 pounds, so that's exciting. What is Athletic Greens? Well, with one delicious scoop of Athletic Greens, you're absorbing 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, and adaptogens to help you start your day the right way. This special blend of ingredients supports your gut health, your nervous system, immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, aging, all of these things. Just one scoop and 8 to 12 ounces of water. Shake it up, boom, suck it down. Doesn't taste bad either. I'm not going to pretend it's a chocolate milkshake, but it's kind of got a tropical flavor. Imagine if Gatorade wasn't syrupy and sugary and chemically. It's got kind of a sports drink taste to it, but easy to just chug it down. Not like some of these god-awful, chalky green smoothies. It's basically, it's got all the health benefits of green smoothie, but in just 8 to 12 ounces of water, and you just shake it up and suck it down. No big deal. It's lifestyle friendly, whether you eat keto, paleo, vegan, dairy-free, gluten-free, whatever. It's going to abide by whatever dietary restrictions you have. Contains less than 1 gram of sugar, no GMOs, no nasty chemicals or artificial anything, while still tasting good. Costs less than $3 a day. You're investing in your health, probably cheaper than your coffee habit. Athletic Greens has over 7,000 five-star reviews. So we're not just making this stuff up. It's been tested. The people have spoken. Over 7,000 of them give it a 5-star review. Right now, it's time to reclaim your health and arm your immune system with the convenient daily nutrition that you deserve, especially heading into flu and cold season. Just one scoop and a cup of water every day. That's it. No need for a million different pills and supplements to look out for your health. Right now, Athletic Greens is making it easy. They're going to give you a free 1-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/boogie. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/boogie to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance. athleticgreens.com/boogie. You ever done any rock climbing?
Nah.
It's crazy.
That's a big thing now for exercises. People go to rock climbing gyms.
Mm-hmm.
Not now. It's been around for many years. It's supposed to be a fantastic workout. You know, you're using all your bits and pieces.
Yeah, those folks who do that, that's impressive. I tried it a couple times way back when I was actually in good shape, and I still could barely do anything. I don't know how people do that shit.
Yeah, it's like gymnastics at that point. It's like, oh, this is for athletes. This isn't for recreational.
Yeah.
Let me get in shape.
Oh boy. Hey, I got a comic of the week this week.
I love a comic of the week.
Very funny dude out of Denver. I've done several shows with this guy. Always made me laugh. John Novosad. Also known as Hippie Man. Yes. He's got a new album out. John Novosad, Novosad. Novosad. Jokes I can only tell here. And he's a unique,
I love funny John Novosad.
Yeah, good dude, funny dude, original jokes, original perspective.
Yeah.
Just easy to listen to. Easy. I listened to his album, just an easy listen, just loaded with jokes. So if you guys don't know John Novosad, check out Jokes I Can Only Tell Here. Came out last month, wherever you get your comedy. Check him out.
Yeah.
One of Denver's
finest.
He's a bit of
a Denver legend. Although I think technically he lives in Boulder, but it's like a legend out that way.
Yeah.
And a great dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Really nice dude. So check out John Novosad. Jokes I Can Only Tell Here. Anything to plug, buddy? Where are you at this week? What suburb are you
going to be man.
At?
Night and day difference from this past weekend. Doing Helium right here in Portland, Oregon.
Oh, wow.
Hop skipping away. Already added a Sunday show.
Nice.
People coming out. Good club. Always fun. I just hang out there.
Mm-hmm.
About once a week, once every other week, I get in to hang out there. And I'm just doing a whole weekend there. It's going to be fun. I'm going to be having folks that I've met through the local scene coming out. And I'm just really looking forward to it. Awesome. I was going to do my special there. It didn't work out that way, but everything's... The set is pretty much up and running. I got about two different hours that I'm switching between.
Nice.
And so this weekend I'm going to have a little camera. I'm not taping a special, but I'm going to have a local fella here that does tape sets. He's going to be there with two cameras. So I'm going to get some, like, the stuff that's not going to be on the special. I want to get that out this weekend.
Cool.
And get that, you know, get that to just to have, and maybe it comes out as its own thing somewhere. But looking forward to it, man. Portland, always fun. Fun that I live here. Fun that it's down the street. And the club's just awesome to begin with. So,
yeah, I had a blast there. I was there in October. And first time.
Yeah, yeah, I missed you. I was out of town.
It was an absolute blast. Great club, great staff, great crowds. You'll have fun.
Yeah,
buddy.
They're my pals.
Hell yeah, buddy. I will be next week. I go out for a little jaunt through the Midwest. Next week, you can catch me in Indianapolis at Helium. Catch me in Milwaukee at the Laughing Tap. And Chicago originally was scheduled for at North Bar. Unfortunately, North Bar has since gone under. I've been talking to the owner, Jim. Oh. Really solid dude, Jim Weber. I've done shows there. Probably the last 5 years I've been going back to North Bar. Great dude, great club. Apparently his business partners kind of sold it out from under him. It was all news to him. But thanks to Jim, he has scrambled and found me another venue. So that the tickets will be honored. Everything's the same except the time has changed. Originally it was 8:00 at North Bar. Now it's 7:00 at Reggie's. And I hear that's a cool spot. I've never been there.
You know old Reggie's Rock Club?
Yeah, Reggie's Rock Club. That's where I'll be.
I know Reggie's.
I heard it's good.
Yeah, I know Reggie's. I've been down there a few times.
Right on. So, yeah, if you've already bought tickets, those tickets will be honored. If you haven't, the new link with the new venue is up at my site, dumbdavestone.com. But, yeah, so next week, Indianapolis, Milwaukee, Chicago. Then the week after that, I'll be in Cuyahoga Falls, Ohio.
people on the Reddit are having a real hell of a time with the way we've both pronounced.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that
Cuyahoga.
Right. Cuyahoga?
Cuyahoga?
Cuyahoga, my apologies. I know how annoying that can be when outsiders mispronounce your town. Back in Atlanta, you could always tell the new weather guy on the news because he would say it's raining in Dahlonega. It's actually pronounced Dahlonega. It's a little mountain town in North Georgia. But we always got a kick when the new guy pronounced it Dahlonega. But yeah, I don't know how to pronounce that. So however I'm mispronouncing that, please feel free to correct me. I'll also be in Hilliard, Ohio on the 22nd and Cincinnati, Ohio on the 23rd of April. So grab them tickets at dumbdavestone.com.
Fuck yeah.
Hell yeah, dog. Also, Patreon. Patreon.com/boogiemonster. If you're not a patron already, $4 a month. You get the bonus Q&A every month, and then I do either Dave's Record Room or Dave's Kitchen, whatever I feel like doing that month. Talk about what you know. So I can talk about cobbler. I can talk about country music. Whatever.
I like
you're
that.
Into.
You got the two different. You know, it's a comforting little world you share with people.
That's right, man. Have a good time. I might broaden that out. I've actually broadened it a little bit recently into Dave's sports talk. Sometimes we talk sports. But I might do like Dave's movie room. I've been watching a lot of movies lately, and most of them are terrible. I've noticed a trend. Katie and I have been watching a lot of movies, and we couldn't figure out why so many of them are just a lot of the new ones, like on Netflix stuff, just really boring. And one thing that I've noticed is I think we're seeing a whole crop of movies coming out now that were shot during COVID. And you can tell the COVID movies because they're all at one location. Like, oh, we just rented out this farm and we're going to make a movie about this farm. Or what? I watched a terrible movie the other night called Windfall. It's got some actors that I like. Jesse Plemons, or who Katie and I refer to as Fat Matt Damon. Fat's a little chubby Matt Damon. I'd love to have his physique. Jason Segel, he's in it. It seemed like a good movie, but just so boring. It just went nowhere. And again, this whole movie is filmed in this one location, so it had to be a COVID movie. But we've seen a lot of movies lately that are just phoned in, just like, here's something to look at for 90 minutes. Okay.
Well, Rotten Tomatoes gave it 60%, so.
It could have been good. I mean, the acting's good. I like Jesse Plemons. He's great. I don't know who the lady, his wife or girlfriend in that was, but she was good. But just kind of a boring story that didn't really go anywhere. Well, the other thing, too, some of these movies I'm talking about, just I mean, granted, I'm not a film buff. I'm not a screenwriter. But, like, can we have some sort of conclusion? That was I rewatched Licorice Pizza, by the way. I thought, all right, let me give it another shot. Hated it just as much as I did the first time. Just a whole bunch
of
nothing.
Good for you for trying it again.
Yeah, I thought, what the hell? Maybe I was in a bad mood that day, whatever. And I'm not trying to hate. I like some of Paul Thomas Anderson stuff, but boy, that was just a whole bunch of nothing. We're just going to bounce around from storyline to storyline, and none of it fucking goes anywhere. And, oops, we got to go. We're going to end the movie now. You fucking figure it out. All right.
I haven't seen that. I've been watching Severance.
Oh, I just started that based on your recommendation. I enjoyed that first episode. Even though I'm not a huge Adam Scott fan. I mean, somebody tweeted, Adam Scott is the Michael Cera of Paul Rudd's. And I don't know exactly what that means, but it's funny.
I like him well enough.
I mean, he's fine. I don't have anything against him, but every time he pops up in something, it's just, okay, there's that guy again. But no, I like I like what I've seen.
Oh, there's that guy again.
Why not? Put him in something else. But yeah, that show is pretty good so far. How far are you into that one?
Only about 3 or 4 episodes.
Okay.
Might sit down and take in some of that now.
I talked about this on the Stonebergs. I don't know if I told you about this, but I also watched a show with Bridget Everett, which was really good, called Somebody Somewhere. 9 or 10 episodes.
Oh, Rachel was watching that. Yeah, I didn't see that. But she's always going to be good.
Yeah, kind of a slice of life. The story's not incredibly dynamic, but just a good slice of life, and she's great. And whoever her co-star is, the fella, people who've seen the show know who I'm talking about, the gay fella, that guy's hilarious. I don't know who the actor's name is, but really funny character, really funny actor, that guy, whoever he is. But yeah, anything Bridget Everett's in, I'm going to take a look at.
I'm going to look up him on the...
You ever had to follow her? I did a festival with her one time, and I had to follow her, and it was just like... Can I just tap out? Can we all just go home now? Because I can't follow that.
Oh, I can't imagine.
Just a beast.
Being in that position.
Jesus. Never felt so helpless.
Yeah. You know what? I don't think I've seen a full set of hers. I've seen like clips, and I know it's like this body.
Yeah.
Lewd, song and dance kind of thing. And it, like the bits I've seen are great. I've hung out with her. But she's just... such a mellow person to hang out with, too. Yeah. It's fun when somebody's like, oh, your act is this craziness. And then as a person, you're just a sweetheart. That's good to just sit and chit-chat.
Yep.
she's like great. the whole world is not a stage. Thank God.
Yeah, thank God for those who know how to turn it off, unlike some comedians.
Curtains for anybody who thinks the whole world's a stage. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, what do you say, buddy?
I gotta
plop this thing in its ass.
Might as well, buddy.
I wish I was funnier on this one. I wish I was funnier. I give myself a 5 out of 10.
Yeah, you were fine, buddy. You're selling yourself short. Should have
been more humorous. All right, man.
Have fun. I was going to say on the road, but have fun at home this weekend.
Yeah, man. Home turf advantage.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you next week.
See ya.
The Boogie Monster.
Podcast Network.